remember the first word that your child said? Remember it right off the bat. Probably know the day, the time, everything about it when your child said that first word. Or maybe when your child took that first step, you remember everything about it as well, how proud you were of what the child did. Or maybe that first potty training experience, when everything went right, well, you made a big deal over it. You know, hey, you're doing a great job, and great day, and you wrote it on the calendar maybe. Who knows? But we have a way of remembering things that are first or things that are last in life. I remember an older couple, it was really a couple of older couples, that was having a little party, and one of the games that we're playing, you ask them, when was the first time this happened? And they ask one older gentleman, him and his wife have been married a long time, where was the first place you kissed your wife? He said, on the mouth. Well, of course. Ask another couple been married for a long time, same question, where's the first place you kissed your wife? And he said, in the bed, the night they got married. That's the first time he kissed his wife. So remember, you know, no matter how old we get, we remember a lot of things, certainly about life. And when it comes to Christ, we remember a lot of first about him. We remember a lot of last about him. But what about the last words that Christ spoke? Do we remember those? If I were to ask you to turn in your Bible to the last words that Christ spoke, where would you turn? Now, some individuals might turn there in the Gospels where Christ spoke those seven sayings on the cross, and that would be somewhat correct, but that's not the last words he spoke. Some would go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and they would begin to look at after his resurrection, before he ascended into heaven. He spoke a few times during that 40-day period he was on the earth. That wasn't the last time that he spoke. The last time that we find the words of Christ is found in Revelation chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 13, here Christ says, "For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Christ is trying to tell us something here about him, that he's the first, he's the last. He uses the Greek alphabet, Alpha being the first and Omega being the last. So he's the first, he's the beginning, he's the end, the first and the last, and we know that about him. He is trying to get across to us that he is deity. He is God in the flesh, and he wants us to understand that he's been around just as long as God has been around. We see that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Easy to understand. Christ was there in the very beginning, before anything was ever created, and he was the one that did the creating. We go to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here in this situation, Christ in the flesh. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You ever wonder what God looked like? Well, here Christ is saying, just look at me. I am the image of the invisible God. I am deity. I am God. Look at me and you understand about what I am. And everything that God is, so is Christ. He's all loving, he's all knowing, he's all powerful. All that God is, he is. He's merciful, he's graceful, he's loving. That being of God and so that being of Christ. So we see here Christ is, he is everything. So Christ here is trying to tell us in his last words, I am God. I'm the first and I'm the last. We need to remember that. He goes on in chapter verse 16 of Revelation 22 with another part of his final words. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He's a descendant of David. Without David, Christ wouldn't be here. Christ, he had to have David in order for that to happen. But he's also telling us he's the bright and morning star. I would think that most all of us have seen that morning star before. Before the sunrise over in the east, it's really not a star, it's a planet, it's Venus. But yet it shines so bright, telling us we made it another day. We have another day the Lord has blessed us with, and we ought to be thankful for that opportunity. As Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The blessings of God are new every morning. And we go to sleep, we've been blessed. We wake up, new blessings. New blessings in every way. A new day, a new morning. And we need to be thanking God for that. And that's something that Christ is wanting to know. In those last words, he is wanting to tell us what the blessings we have with him every single day. On into verse 7. Another thing Christ wants us to know. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. Remember his words. Keep the words that he has written in the book. Do as he says. Obey him and do it out of love. And better off we will be. Jesus came to this earth with a message. And if we will listen to that message, our life will be blessed. If we do not, we're going to have a sort of miserable life. And in the end, we're going to pay the price for not listening to him. Christ said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We're going to be judged by the words in the Bible. How well have we kept them? Have we done our very best to live faithful to the words of Christ? Because that's where our judgment's going to come from. How well we have kept that. And of course, if one rejects those words, that means Christ will reject that individual. So Christ is trying to tell us here, listen, my words are important. Listen carefully. He also tells us in verse 27, behold, I come quickly. He's going to come quickly. In verse 12 and also in verse 20, Revelation 22, he tells us the same thing. And we know that by other verses in the Bible. His coming is going to be sudden. It's going to be like a thief in the night. It's going to be quick. It's not going to be drawn out over several days or months or years. There's not going to be a warning. It's going to happen when it happens. And when it happens, we'll know it. Every eye will see him whenever it takes place. It's going to be sudden when it happens. Christ says, don't forget this. Live every day faithfully. Live every day as if this is the day that it's going to happen. And he gives us all kinds of other warnings besides this, the many parables, like in Matthew 25, parable after parable concerning his second coming. A thief in the night. Be ready for him, he says. Christ is wanting us to know this. And his last and final words to us, I'm going to come quickly. I'm coming back. It will be sudden. Another thing he wants us to tell us there in verse 12, there's going to be a reward. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Won't be any waiting on that reward. When he comes back and we stand before him, we will receive our reward right then. It's not that it's going to be in the mail. No, it's going to be right then when the Lord is going to reward us. And think of all the good things that Christ does bless us with. But think of that wonderful great reward of heaven. What a great place that will be. What a great time that will be. It will be a reward of all eternity. So let's make sure that we are living accordingly, looking forward to that time of reward. Another thing he tells in his last words in verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away from his part the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. Three times in the scriptures, in the old, two times in the old, here in the new at the end, our Lord says, don't add to or take away. Don't do that. Don't tamper with the word of God, because when you do, you're putting your own soul in jeopardy. And also those who may be listening to you, you're putting their souls in jeopardy as well. That's why we find for those who teach, a great responsibility is put upon those who teach to make sure that it is right. The Lord's wanting us to know, don't change it. Don't care what society says. Don't care how things change in the world. His word is not going to change. And don't do it. And don't change it. So Christ in his last words again is telling us that. And that is of great importance. And then in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. The last thing here Christ is wanting us to know is about his invitation. The invitation is open to all. He says, come, come, come to him. That's what he wants us to know. He will give the water of life freely to those who come to them, those who hear, those who thirst. A great invitation he has given. Last words. That's what we find here in Revelation chapter 22, his last words. The words on the cross are very important. The words in Acts 1 before his ascension, very important. But these words are important as well. And most of the time when we hear individuals give last words or first words, we listen to what they have to say. So here he has told us, I am deity. There's a better day coming. I am coming quickly. There will be a reward. Do not take away or add to his word. And there's always that great invitation. So as we see his last words, may we live in accordance to that day when we will see him again and make sure that we're prepared. If that need is there tonight to become a Christian or need prayers or any way, why not come and stand and sing our invitation?